All right, everybody, welcome to episode 115 of the NDC Toddcast, brought to you by New Dimension Comics. I am John, the NDC Overlord. With me today is Morton Bo, manager out in Ohio. So today we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff, some future state books that have come out. We're going to talk about Wonder Woman 1984. We're going to talk a little bit about HBO Max. You know, it's going to be a lot of cool stuff. You know, we want to start out by, you know, saying, making sure that we want to thank everybody for always supporting us, and always supporting your local comic shop, no matter who they are. Please support local. It's a big deal. You know, without comic shops, you know, those movies wouldn't be there right now. NDC events coming up. Well, I mean, first, you know, thanks everybody who came out to Bo's anniversary sale and made it another record-setting year.
Good
for
day.
That sale. It was a good time.
It's a good day.
Mm-hmm. And then we have the basement sale coming up in Elwood at the end of the month. And then starting this weekend, you can get your early bird. The basement sale in general is 500,000 sorted books. It's a lot of books. So they're all a buck a piece on that day. We only open the basement up like three times a year. And we started doing this early bird thing so people could take advantage of social distancing and, you know, just give you an opportunity to get in there before everybody else. We have been stocking it very good since June was the last one, because we had the million. No, September. Since September, we have stocked it pretty well. So there is some new stuff down there. And we have filled some holes back in. But anyway, you have on that day, you can get a long box for $250 plus tax. On the early bird specials, you have to commit to a long box, and then it's basically a $50 charge to be allowed in early. So starting this Thursday through Sunday, and then next week, Thursday through Sunday, if you pre-buy the early bird bundle on ndcomics.com/shop and then go to Elwood, you can find it on their website and you can purchase it on there. You can go to ndcomics.com, look through the scroller for the basement sale. There's a link right to the item. We've already filled up everything for this Friday, so there's only five slots per day. So that's already filled up, and you get access to the basement 10 to 5 with up to five other people possibly shopping it. I've seen people come in and plow through and pull three long boxes in an hour and a half. And I've seen people take 5 hours just to fill the one box. It really depends on what you're looking for. There's a lot of full runs of like 80s and 90s stuff down there and some early 2000s stuff. So come and check it out. If you haven't, if you're kind of on the fence and you've never been to one of these, maybe just go to the actual basement sale on the 30th and check that out. And like I said, everything down there is $1. There's only the long box price that day. There is no short box price. But anything, if you do the early bird, if you fill your long box and then you decide to do more, it's regular basement sale price for the rest of the stuff past that first box that you already paid for, because you have to pre-buy that box. So lots of fun. And you get to see some of our awesome staff doing work in the basement. So, Bo, you've never been to the basement, right?
I've been in the basement.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I haven't been to like a sale. So,
okay. You really should come up for one of these. It's pretty nice.
I don't know. You guys just let me down in there by myself. I'll play some tunes and I'll search for my stuff.
Oh, people bring like their earbuds and they're just cranking tunes the whole time anyway. You know, it's a lot of fun, and there's all kinds of stuff in there. Everything from like super indie books to really cool brand new or like stuff that came out in 2020. It's really a mixed bag. Not that a lot came out in 2020, because we were really only getting comics for like 8 months, but you know what I mean. All right, let's talk some comics.
Well, before you do, again, I just want to thank if anybody watches from my store, thank you so much again for coming out to our anniversary sale. anymore. I mean, I got great subs and everything like that, including my Magic players and gamers and everything like that. So again, just a big thanks to all them. I feel like I'm running a barber shop and I'm the barber standing there anymore. And so it's nice. So again, thanks everybody for coming out for that. So it's nice.
Yeah, we really appreciate everything. And also, just so you guys know, if you have questions about anything we're talking about, put them in the comments. If I see them, I'm looking at it as we're live. We will try to answer it as much as we can. So, all right. Some comics all bought at Bo's store this week because, you know, so he does have some of this stuff in stock. My first book is Scout's Honor from Aftershock. And my buddy Dave Pepos wrote this book. So, as an Eagle Scout and a former assistant scoutmaster and someone who likes chaos theory a bit, and you know, this book was like Boy Scouts meets Walking Dead to me. I thought it was a good book. Like, I thought it was solidly written. I thought the art was good. It's kind of like this post-apocalyptic world where these Ranger Scouts, which are like almost like super soldier style Boy Scouts, exist. And then when you get through that, after you get all these merit badges, you get to become an Eagle Ranger or an Eagle Guardian or something. It's kind of cool. Like, and they kind of worship the guy who created it or created the Scouts. And then there's like crazy, weird, futuristic like street gangs. And then they find this weird device that turns on, and it's a recording from the guy who created those Scouts. And he basically is like, yeah, this project isn't working. The Scouts are actually evil. It didn't help make them any better. We should terminate it now. And then you see him kind of like get killed. And there's some other cool twists in there that I'm not going to talk about because I want people to read the book and check it out. But I thought it was really good. I've liked Dave's writing. I like Going to the Chapel. I thought it was great. And also Spencer and Locke, both volumes of Spencer and Locke have been awesome. So, but that's my first book. So,
all right. First, I'm going to start off with, I'm going to do some Dark Knights Metal. If you guys haven't read that, the story was terrible, but it does. I did not care for this, you know, next edition of Death Metal and stuff like that. But at the end of it, they kind of introduce this future state and kind of tie everything together, so there's no more like Flashpoint Paradox and all that stuff where nobody remembers anything and all that, all like the kind of the fuzzy outlook on things where no one knew what was going on. Everybody remembers everything, and therefore they made this future state as an Elseworld type of storyline, from what I gather. I could be wrong, but this is what I gathered from it. So it makes these stories that they're doing for the next 2 months not part of canon per se, but, you know, potentially introducing new characters and kind of, I do like what they're doing with that. They're not like forcing things down our throat, which they tend to do anymore. So it's kind of nice they start off this way. And I was going to do Batman, but I don't find Batman to be a worthy read. I'm sorry. It was an $8 book that we paid for, that I paid for. And there was a few books that I would like to have returned this week, but wow, that was one of them. And it was like 6-7 pages about the new Batman. And that's all we got. And then it switched over to a Katana storyline. And then I just closed the book after that. I didn't read the last part of it, which it didn't interest me, which was a shame. But the one book that I did like, because I'm obsessed, I love Wally West. So the Future State Flash. It's not what I expected, though. I thought it was going to be a whole story about Wally and kind of getting him like built back up. Because it seems like in the past, everybody's hated Wally. Dan Didio and that kind of stuff. They all hate Wally for some reason. I don't know why. He's so much better. In my mind, he's so much better than Barry. He has just more personality and everything. Blasphemy. Like that.
Blasphemy.
I like him better. I know. And he's faster. But this, they're making him into, like, basically he was taken over by a new character called Obsidian Sun, but you've heard of Obsidian from, you know, yeah. Alan Scott's son and all that stuff. Anyways, he's been taken over, and he's basically just a murderer going around killing people, and now Barry and them, or Barry and Jay, are trying to hunt him down, stuff like that. So that got the A-plus for me on this week. I know it's kind of like a weird look at Wally, and here again, he's not getting no love, can't get his own book going and stuff like that, but whatever. It's still a cool Wally story, and he's trying to redeem himself, like he can hold it off for a second and kind of talk to Barry, but definitely check it out. I think that's the worthy one of the week. And then next week we have Green Lantern, and I am super excited to read that next week. So I have high hopes for that book. So, cause just, I think it's going to be a good, like Green Lantern Corp story. So I'm very excited for it. So anyways, that's me rambling on about my Wally woes that I want to get more of. So
I understand it. I just, something about Barry has always reached me on a different level than I don't hate Wally. I just don't like him as much as I like Barry. That's my thing.
It's odd. It's almost, I always compare it. This is weird. I always compare Barry and Wally to like almost like a Peter Parker. And this is going to sound weird. A Peter Parker and then a Miles Morales. Like for some reason, like Miles never hit with me. Peter Parker did. But in this case, Barry never really hit with me. Wally did. It was kind of weird. And
yeah,
I never grew up with Wally. Wally was still even like, you know, after I kind of got started, right. But it's weird. So.
Yeah. I mean, I liked a lot of the interactions we had with Barry and Hal Jordan. And I always thought that Wally kind of fit more with Kyle's personality when like Kyle became the Green Lantern.
Another one that's hated by DC for some reason.
I'm not really like, I loved the art. The writing was okay. I do love Ron Mars. I like the character. I just don't like him as much as Hal, right? I don't like him as much as John. Yes. I don't like him as much as Guy. Like
100% there. Hal is the Green Lantern to me.
Right. So, but I understand where you're sitting there, but but when Barry came back was freaking awesome. So, all right. My next book is Eternals number one from Marvel, by Karen Gillan and Esad Ribic. And this was really good. I haven't read an Eternals book in a really long time. And I was like, you know, the movie's coming out, I'll check it out. I like the creative team. Let's see what they do. And, you know, for those of you who have never read Eternals, they're kind of like if the Inhumans were not from Kree, but from Asgard, like that's pretty much what the Eternals are. They're just these weird demigod style characters that literally cannot die. Like they die, but then they get regenerated right where they kicked off. Way to go, X-Men, for stealing that from them. But I thought the art was great. It's a pretty good setup to kind of reintroduce people to Icarus, who is the main character that you see in the blue and red. What's the other dude that's there with him?
Sprite.
He's kind of like the Loki. And Icarus is kind of like the Thor, if they were like, if you want to try to compare them. So it's, you know, and it's just really, I just always found it to be kind of cool. But again, it's been a really long time. I think the last time there was an Eternals book, it was like Neil Gaiman and John Romita Jr., right? And everyone knows how much I don't like John Romita Jr.
he's terrible. I'm sorry. He is bad.
Right. So
Liefeld's better, and that's for me. That's stretching it for me.
Now had Kick-Ass come out first, it would be Kicker-Ass, because Icarus and Kick-Ass look almost identical because it's John Romita Jr. But the other cool part about this is, you know, obviously they're supposed to be eternal, and you know, they go to a place where they can see like partial futures, and they see someone die. And then at the very last page, which is freaking awesome, Thanos shows up, and you know, he's looking for death. Surprised no one. But I really thought the book was good. I thought it was a sleeper hit. I think a lot of people didn't know enough about it for them to want to pick it up this week, even though the movie's coming up. I just really thought it was a good book to have. So
it was good. It was, like I said, when we had talked earlier, it was the book of the week for me. It was an unexpected, because I had such low expectations for the book, and it like far exceeded. And the reason why is because of Thanos. That's just, he's like my damn, he's my damn role model anymore. I begin to think more and more like Thanos every day. It's, it was cool. And I think I got the same cover as you did. The Campbell cover was pretty cool and whatnot.
Well. Yep.
And that was the awesome cover. And that's the only thing, that's my only critique about the book. The writing with Gian, or however you say his name, is Karen good. Gillen. Yeah. I never can say, and then Ribic's awesome. I always liked that artwork. And then just having Thanos in there was fantastic. That just made it all worthwhile, because he hasn't really been seen since that terrible Infinity Wars where Gamora killed him. So I'm hoping I'm hoping he's actually like back, like, and this is how they're going to reintroduce him back into the, you know, because he's such a polarizing character. He needs to be, he needs to be front and center. And
yeah. And this is a good title to bring him in because of the level of heroes that the Eternals are. Yeah. And I really enjoyed the fact that Matt Wilson's doing the coloring on it, because him and Gillen worked together on Wicked and Divine. Like the color palettes they use are very similar. Like he's using very similar color palettes. So like if you liked the flow of that book, this book has a very similar flow and almost a bit of a same feel. I mean, it's the art's obviously a little different because Ribic's a little more
dark, gritty.
Yeah, I always thought he was like, he definitely pulled from like the early 80s guys, the 80s guys like Frank Miller and Romita Sr. even, and like that kind of a vibe. But he's not as gritty and dirty as those guys, you know, because he can actually make someone look like a human figure. And not just lines everywhere. But I really enjoyed his art. I thought it worked well for the book. So, but
my only complaint about that book was how many covers they had for it.
Oh my God.
And my dumbass ordered at least one of each. And that's Marvel, come on.
Yeah.
Stop.
I remember I was prepping the wall list for Cranberry. And I was like, good Lord, there were like 40 covers. And I was like, how did we end up with all these covers? Whatever. And I just wrote on the list, like, at least two spaces.
It's bad. But hopefully people do pick it up. It's like, it's a sleeper. Like, I think people should really check it out and read it. So,
yeah, I think next week people will probably kick on to it, because I think a lot of people did. I think a lot of people like you and I are going to, we're going to reach out to our Thor people. We're going to reach out to our Inhumans people. We're going to reach out to anybody who liked Thanos.
That's the kicker. At least for me, that would have been a kicker. Hey, Thanos is in this book.
The fact that they kind of kept that secret for a long time, like no one knew about that. So,
well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like when I read it there last night, I wondered, like whenever I'm doing the previews and like seeing the next issue where Thanos is big face, I was like, well, I could have just not paid attention and never took it. But I was like, it surprised the hell out of me. So I was like, oh, great. So,
I think it was pretty good. All right. Do you have a second book, or was that, or we did that one together?
That was kind of a together thing.
Okay.
We both liked it, but.
Oh, we have another together thing. All right.
Yes. Star Wars High Republic. This is actually the 1 in 10. Cause I thought the characters, we don't know who these guys are yet, but they look friggin' cool. So right. I'll give them that. And that's about as far as my, it was not a bad book. I didn't have any issues with it, but it was boring. They introduced the new character, starts with a K, I think, and I can't for life. I mean, now my mind went blank. I can't remember what her name is.
Kaven, Kanan, Karen,
Kane. No, it's not Kanan.
No, it's Kiza? Kiza or something. You're right. It's like Kiza or something like that.
like I said, we kind of get introduced to her character, but it's pretty much just fighting her and her, she's kind of getting put through the trials of the Jedi, which is cool and fine. Otherwise, and then they have a splash page at the end where her Jedi master, like, looks like he's stroking out or something, just like screaming like a Dragon Ball scream or something. But that's all we know. Like, literally,
yeah, we don't know what's actually happening.
It was a very letdown issue for a like, I keep telling everybody, if you want to read, if Marvel, their best thing they got going for them right now is the Star Wars stuff. I love every title across the board, have nothing bad to say about it. And, but this was just boring. So I'm hoping they step it up a little bit and, you know, we get a good story and we'll see.
Right.
I'm still not sure. I'll give it another couple issues and go from there.
Right. I agree 100%. I thought it was a little boring. And I thought that it had a lot of potential, but it didn't really go anywhere.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's cool to see. It's like, oh, we have a space temple now. But then part of me's like, so what happened to that space temple by the time, you know, the prequels roll around, because this is pre-prequel time. So Are we going to see it get blown to bits? Are we going to like say that it's been there and they just Order 66'd it? Like what's going to go on with that? And then the only other thing I had was the main character. And this totally comes from being a Zelda fan, has a freaking Navi. And it annoyed me. I'm like, oh, well, at least she doesn't have a droid. I mean, that's the last thing we want to see is just another Jedi with a droid. But this one's got like a little fairy type character that kind of like bigger than what you would think a fairy would be. But
I thought that was just like that was like an inhabitant of that planet.
Yeah, but
I thought
it stayed with them.
It did stay with. Yes.
The whole book.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, oh, you have a Navi. I just am waiting for it to be like, hey, listen.
It's like an irritating Jar Jar Binks there hanging out with her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I hope it gets better. What I'm wondering is, and I didn't order them for the store, and I don't know really if anybody does too much, but the Star Wars Insider, you know, there's a magazine. Anyways, there was the most recent issue. They did like I don't know if it was like a histrionics or just kind of leading into it, like a, you know, a prelude to this. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if, and they're expensive now, because God knows everything Star Wars is expensive now. I'm wondering if that would like give more to the story. I need to try to find out some information on it, see if it would like evolve this and make me think a little bit differently of it. So,
yeah, I don't know. This book was very highly coveted though. Most of the stores, if they didn't sell out Wednesday, probably are sold out today.
Yeah, for sure.
But I just hope it goes somewhere. Like, I'm going to give it, it did get bumped from a 6-issue mini to an ongoing. So I'm going to probably give it at least one more issue to see if it goes anywhere that I like, but we'll see.
Yeah. So.
All right. My last book. Wait, do you have any more? Are you good?
No.
Go ahead. Okay, cool. My last book, and this is a segue book, is Future State Wonder Woman. Number one. I thought this book was kind of good. It had like weird vibes of like old Donna Troy. Like I'm talking like 90s Donna Troy. But this outfit is absolutely awful.
I didn't think that looked too bad. I didn't read it, but I didn't think she looked too bad. Like,
I find it weird that she would have sleeves but no pants. Like, it's kind of like an armored up bathing suit with arms. Like, it's like the fact that there are sleeves and no pants just makes it weird for me. But I thought the story was kind of cool. Like, she's going to the underworld to get some stuff back. Beats a Hydra up. Her Pegasus is kind of an imbecile, apparently. And then she runs into like a local inhabitant, and I don't think they're on Thermoskia, are they? Like, does it say that they're on Thermoskia?
See, I didn't read it. I don't know.
But she also has a lasso, only her lasso has actual weight balls on the end. So when she swings it, it would be more true to physical force. Physics would be actually involved. So I thought the journey to the underworld was pretty fun because it was like this really nice palace. And like Cerberus is just sleeping and he's freaking huge. Like, I mean, he's laying down and he's taller than Wonder Woman. Then they like get to the line where they have to get to the ferryman and she doesn't have any money. So she tricks, this other guy ahead of her into get like this dead sumo wrestler for his money. And then the dead sumo wrestler is like really angry, but she gets on the boat. And then Cerberus wakes up because she did something bad. So I thought it was kind of cool. Like, I'm going to probably read the second one because there's only two. But she appeared in Dark Knight's Death Metal, right?
Just a blip.
Yeah.
Quick. Well, I think what they're doing with her, I think she is going to be Wonder Woman.
Do you think?
Given the events of Death Knight Metal, you know, whatever happens with... Jeez, my goodness. With Wonder Woman, whatever happens with her, I think they're going to push for her to be the new, for better or for worse, probably for worse, but, you know, it'll be, we'll see. But I think that's what they're planning on doing with her. I think she is the one that will see the most headway out of this future state, to be honest. So,
yeah, Yara Flor is her name.
Yeah.
And then they it's like, your father is, you will not, then they don't even say who it is. So I'm curious to know a little more about the backstory. I'm curious to know why her Pegasus name is Jerry. Like I said, so far I kind of dug it. It had a Donna Troy vibe to me. Like that kind of Wonder Woman to me. So that's why I liked it. I have a couple of the other future state books I'm going to check out a little later. Probably Swamp after Thing, this.
Swamp Thing wasn't too bad. I didn't mind that. I did not read the Superman because Jonathan Kent reading about the boy, that really doesn't excite me too much. But there's some future ones there's some books here this week, like Dark Detective, that looked good to me. The Suicide Squad actually looks good to me too. Because it looks like Batman's part of it. Whether whomever Batman it'll be. So I'm kind of hoping to be like Damon. That'd be kind of cool to see him.
Right. And maybe you'll get more than three panels of Batman in it.
I don't know. It was weird. I just didn't expect it after reading, like, you know, I read, because I usually, this is the way I read my books. I read like what I'm most excited for last.
Right.
So I'm like going through and I'm like, oh, this is going to be a good Batman book. It's like, man, it was bad. Great. So.
All right.
I don't know.
Well, all right, so now we're going to start our discussion about Wonder Woman 1984. So it's on HBO Max. That's how I watched it. I missed the 7-day free trial, so I just did the $70 for 6 months. And I'm getting a little bit more out of HBO Max with it too, because I found Doom Patrol and it was really good. Saw the Harley Birds Prey movie. We'll talk about that later if you really want to. Don't really need
Not
to.
Really. I didn't make it very far through the movie, I'll be honest with you.
But Wonder Woman, I did not hate it as much as a lot of the people online I'm seeing reviews for. And you and I kind of, I think we're mostly on the same page about it. For the most part, my biggest issues were I thought it was a little too long.
Yes, I will.
And like, because it was 2.5 hours, it definitely could have been a 2-hour movie.
Yeah. You can make it a 2-hour movie, just fast forward through a lot of shit.
Like the flying, the learning to fly scene was way too long. It did not need to be that long. And hey, that could have helped out all those people that were complaining about the lightning lassos, which, whatever. She's a freaking demigod. Who cares? Yeah. It starts out when she starts whipping it and pulling it. It's just physics, right? Like, that part's fine. Like, and I was waiting for them to be like, she's just pulling on a cloud. That's not real. And I'm like, well, the lightning at least looks cool.
Man, like I told people, I said, I know this may be hard for people to accept, But, you know, as much as I like comics, comic books aren't real, ladies and gentlemen. What? I'm sorry that this may hurt your feelings. They're not real. So, like, I don't know what people want with that. That boggled my mind. Like, it's not real, y'all. Yeah. But anyways, go ahead.
And then other than that, like, by the way, the rest of this is going to probably deal with spoilers. So if you haven't watched the movie and you want to watch it spoiler-free, you should probably stop now.
We'll
just see you at the store and we'll talk about it later. It's fine. So the thing that bothered me the most is, like, so they do really good with Max Lord's character, and they get to the point where he's literally talking to everyone on the planet at once, and she just kind of hijacks that, and she's then talking to everybody at once. And I don't know if, like, they can see her, because I think she did get rid of the camera, but they can still hear her. Yeah. And I don't know if they can, like, I don't know if they see her in their minds, or if they hear her or whatever. But at that point, and, you know, she does, like, a saving thing in a mall and some other stuff. Like, it's very hard for me to believe that this is the same Wonder Woman that Bruce Wayne said that, like, they were having a heart, like, she was like a phantom or whatever out after World War One or after World War II, back in Batman and Superman. So that's literally the only real problem I have with this. Now, there are ways around this. There are that maybe those people just thought she was some crazy person, like crazy vigilante, and didn't really tell anybody. It was the 80s. No one had cell phones. There were Polaroids, but God knows you probably couldn't really get a good picture of that. Or what I really think they're going to do is in Flashpoint, they're going to kind of do, they're going to blame Flashpoint to help fix all that stuff. Now, you know, DC does have a million freaking universes, so their multiverse is vast. So it could also be that we are watching a story from a different Wonder Woman. I'm okay with that explanation, I'll be honest, because I thought the movie was, for the most part, pretty okay. I was sad. The only other things that bothered me not quite as much are, I wanted Max Lord to die, and I don't know why he wasn't arrested. But I guess if she's not trying to show herself to the world as much, she wouldn't be able to really do that. But, you know, like, why did the military guy even fly him back on the helicopter? Yeah. Like, why didn't he just arrest him? You know, like that was really my only other problem with it. But I thought Max Lord's character was well done with the, instead of him being more of a suggestive villain where his power of suggestion is bad, he does the positive thinking wish stone thing, which I thought they adapted that very good. And then because they kind of took like the spear, I think it was a spear or a knife or something from Cheetah in the 1985 version, like where it was, what was her, Minerva, when it was Barbara.
Yeah.
When Barbara came in the comics as the second Cheetah, you know, she had that knife that turned her, like she cut her hand with it and it turned her into the Cheetah, but because she wasn't a virgin, it was like she would be bloodthirsty when she was the Cheetah and she'd be in excruciating pain when she was human. You know, this time we see a Cheetah that doesn't have those problems but can't switch back and forth. But we also didn't get a lot of full cat form Cheetah, which I really wanted to see a little more of. But I thought Kristen Wiig was fine. I thought each character played their part in it. But I just thought there was, like, this movie, a lot of people are complaining there wasn't a lot of action. But in defense of it, Max Lord isn't really a physical action.
He's not. No.
Like, this movie was a lot more about decisions and mental trauma and stuff like that. So, the whole scene in Cairo they could have taken that whole scene out and the whole movie would not have changed. Except they would have had to figure out another way to say that he was the stone. But I don't know. That's pretty much how I feel about it. Overall, I guess.
I actually did enjoy it, which everybody kind of gave me some flack for that. I did like it. I thought Pedro, the guy that played, he also plays Mandalorian, for y'all that are just
what?
Not knowing. I thought he was pretty, I thought he was good as Maxwell Lord. I liked, I can't remember her name, the lady from Saturday Night Live, as Cheetah. Yeah. She was good. I didn't really find a place for the Steve Trevor coming back to life. Like, I thought it was dumb. He was dead in the first one, and I don't know. I could have done with or without him. They brought him back for a comedic relief for him and Diana, to be honest. It was just, I don't know. I could have done with or without him. But overall, I liked it. I really wish he would have broke his neck at the end. That would have been a much better story or finish than what they had. I was disappointed in that aspect of it. Otherwise, I was fine with it, and I thought the end credits were nice with my mind's
going Linda Carter.
Can't remember nobody's names tonight. Jeez. That was awesome. Very obscure character, so I'm not quite certain what they had planned for her, if anything, or if it was just a tribute.
I think it was a tribute and a good way to have her in a cameo in the movie.
Yeah.
She's in the Supergirl TV show as the president. So, but I thought this was cool. A good way to have her in a super or a Wonder Woman movie and to be to play an Amazon in it. I thought it was really good. And I thought it was a good way to weave the story of the armor, like the Gold Eagle armor.
Yeah. No. But like I said, overall, I enjoyed it. Like I said, the movie was, I don't like Patty Jenkins. I think she's a puke to human existence, but that's just me. And her writing this movie, I never read things after you watch a movie. It changes your opinion on a movie. So once I read what she was saying about different characters, it ruined a lot of movie for me. It went from I liked it a lot to didn't really like it as much because of her, but that's pointless. So after I watched it the first time, but overall, I thought it was pretty good. But I want DC to get back to some more grittiness. I think they're too kiddy like Marvel is, and I want them to go back. I'm over all of it. Like Aquaman was good, and they're good at solo films to a point, but they're trying too much with this, to follow the Marvel aspect of it, and I want them to just get back to a more gritty look, I guess. I want that Snyderverse back.
All right, so first I'll touch on the Steve Trevor thing. So I was talking to somebody, I think it was Lauren and Cranberry, and we both said how much we thought Steve Trevor was a better Man Out of Time than Steve Rogers. Like, because Steve Rogers had like the notebook, but he wasn't like freaked out over anything.
Or
we just didn't get to see it because a lot of stuff was, you know, like he was kind of weaning on and we didn't see that stuff off screen, but it was never just like, whoa, that's awesome. You know, a lot like some of the stuff we saw here. I thought that I really kind of felt he felt a little out of place in the movie.
It was out of place. That's what it was.
Yeah. But she needed that catalyst to do the thing for the story. So he was basically just a plot device. And you know, I wasn't super excited to see him back. I always thought that it would have been cooler if it would have been like his great great grand nephew or something, like it is in the comics. Like, you know, like she just happens to keep randomly falling in love with like two generations later Steve Trevor, and then they always die. You know, that would have been fine with me. But I thought it was cool to see her, like the pictures of her at like the Trevor Ranch and, you know, that kind of stuff. I thought those were all very good points to have in there. I just think that it felt him being there felt a little forced. Just me.
They wanted him back for the movie.
I mean, he's a draw. Yeah. So I don't feel that they're doing the kitty stuff that you, I don't think they're doing as much of it as you sit, as you think they are. Outside of Shazam, which
weirdly, I like Shazam, though.
Weirdly, Shazam was like the most kid friendly and not kid friendly movie of all of their solo films. Because, you know, you had an actual like high school kid playing Billy Batson and Freddy, and then you had the whole family of kids. So there was that, but man, the villains were super dark, super dark. And I think that's still my favorite solo film they've done. So, I don't hate the Snyder films, but, I think that Batman, Superman, and Justice League were not as good as any of the other stuff that's been out. Like, they are my bottom of the barrel, and it's a lot of it has to do with the CGI, like the nerfing of characters. The CGI,
yes.
Like they hardcore nerf some characters, like, you know, in Justice League, Batman's basically a joke, and he does, and even in Batman Superman, he does a lot of stuff that's not very Batman like. You know, and I always bring up the, like, in Batman Superman, it's the Wonder Woman is always getting one up on him. Like, she steals his flash drive, and she does whatever with his car without his knowledge. That would never, ever happen.
I think it was for the comedic relief. Like, it still never happened. But ever since, just like the solo Christian Bale Batman movies, they lost themselves. After that, they lost themselves to me. Aquaman was the, I like Shazam, and Aquaman was the other one that I enjoyed. So I think they just lost themselves.
I enjoyed all of the solo movies. I enjoyed Man of Steel a lot. I enjoyed,
that was good.
Wonder Woman. I enjoyed Aquaman. I enjoyed, I guess enjoyed both Wonder Woman, and I've enjoyed Shazam. Shazam was actually, I think, my favorite of them, just because of how good it really, really was. Because they finally, I thought, hit a good balance. But I thought the first Wonder Woman movie was better than this one, but I thought it was good. Like, I didn't hate it. I just think that the DC verse, in my opinion, and this is just my opinion because we're all entitled to it, is that they really should have focused on single character movies first.
100%.
Before trying to jam them together, because the way they did it, like, I really do hate Ezra Miller's Flash. I do not like him at all. I
100% agree with you. Yeah.
The cyborg in the movie is way bad compared to the cyborg on Doom Patrol. Like, the Doom Patrol cyborg is like a million times better. Cause he feels like Cyborg. I had
no problem with the casting of Vic. I thought he was a fine cyborg. So
he did okay. But when you, like, dude, when you watch the Doom Patrol show, you're going to be like, yeah, that cyborg, he's way cooler. Like, he's way better.
Victor's like Barry Allen to me. They're just plain. There's not really much. So I thought he was fine with him, I guess. So,
yeah.
I'm hoping for more things. That's why I'm keep saying it, because I'm hoping once we get that Snyder cut, if I got to spend 5 hours or whatever hours watching that movie, I'm hoping it's going to fix some things. And, you know,
I am really not excited about the CGI that I've seen, like the different look of a lot of things, for that, I'm at least curious to watch it to see if it somehow makes their universe more sensical, or just to see where he was going to go with it. It's kind of a morbid curiosity thing, you know.
That's what it is.
You know, it's not like I'm going to pay more money to do it. I'm already paying for all the streaming and stuff. Someone, a good friend of mine who watched Wonder Woman, said he felt that it suffered from like the Spider-Man 3, trying to do too many things at once.
He's not wrong, probably.
I don't think it was as bad as Spider-Man 3. Or even Batman Superman, where like randomly you're like, oh yeah, movie's almost over. Nope, sorry, Doomsday.
Yeah.
You know, at least it wasn't that abrupt, weird shit like that. It was more clean and concise, and throughout the whole movie.
Yeah, Batman Superman would have been fine if you either took out Doomsday or you took out that, no, just take out that fool that played Lex Luthor. If he just would have moved him completely out of that movie would have been a ton better. And then just had Doomsday be your villain, you know.
I think if they would have not done the Doomsday thing, I probably would have less problems with the Lex. But I think my hatred of the Doomsday part, because he was integral in doing that, makes me just very much so hate that movie.
I just hate that actor. He could not play. He could not play Lex Luthor.
No, he'd have been an awesome like Riddler, or
he could have just stayed home, and they could have just give the people what they want and let them watch Kevin Spacey come back as Lex Luthor, and just because he was Lex Luthor, he was a good Lex Luthor. Yeah. I know his past and whatnot, but he's a good Lex Luthor. So
yeah. I mean, I think around that time was when all that stuff was coming out. So.
It was, yeah.
But I mean, Jesse Eisenberg, I think if he would have had, I think the long hair made me mad too, because I was like, you don't even look like Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
And he even didn't even look like Alexander Luthor from Crisis. Like, you know, I would have even accepted that as an option, but you know, then you're talking a whole different ball game when you're talking to Crisis.
Yeah.
So, but that's kind of, you know, like those were most of my problems with those movies. And then like the Justice League movie, just it just really felt, it was mostly the CGI. 'Cause every time the CGI would like hit the full screen, I'm like, oh, we're on a PS2 game watching some cinema thing. But they were just
like Steppenwolf is the villain. I just thought that was a terrible villain to have. Like, why? Such an obscure villain. It just didn't ring with me, even though like I like any of Darkseid's minions. I think that's sweet, but just having Steppenwolf was I don't know.
I think you know, having him was fine, but he really didn't do anything. Like It was, okay, we're going to have the one fight, and then I'm going to come down and get this mother box, and then we're going to have a big fight later. And that's it.
Yeah.
Like, there was no, like, we didn't see it. Okay, so I'm gonna go and say the thing that I liked about, because he was kind, like, it was obviously supposed to lead up to Darkseid, but since we didn't get that, the thing that the Marvel Universe did well with all the individual ones was in each movie you had a little bit more and a little bit more of Thanos. Like, you had all these hints about Thanos. Like, you know, in the first Avengers movie, he was behind the Chitauri invasion. Yeah. In what was the other one? Like we actually got to see him at the end of, I think it was the second Thor movie, where he comes in and just takes the gauntlet.
Yeah.
And then we had all the Infinity Stones, so like it made sense to lead to him, as where this doesn't make any sense to be in that point. Like the mother box thing makes way more, like they could use the mother box to, like, if that would have been like the big puzzle, and then at the end they showed like maybe it was the sod comes down and that's your thing, and there's some other villain throughout the movie. Sure, I'd be okay with that. I'd have been cool if it was like, I don't even care, it could have been freaking Grodd. Like, that would have been awesome. You know, it could have been cool if it would have just been like the Injustice Society or the Injustice League. I'd have been way fine with that. But Darkseid didn't feel right for me.
Fast. I agree. Yeah. Marvel did set up Thanos perfectly. Whether or not I agree with how they ended up, you know, just the way they did those Infinity Gauntlet, Infinity War movies or whatnot was terrible, because you read the books and you got to have the Fantastic Four. Captain Marvel wasn't in it. Well, you know, so you got Silver Surfer.
Yes and no. Right, but they didn't have Warlock yet. They had to substitute.
There's no Warlock. I know, but they pushed too far, and I don't know. And then he took off his helmet, and then they tried to rectify that in the second one by you know, having the younger version of him, having him all fully bodied, armored, and everything like that. But I don't know. I thought they pushed that, but they did set up Thanos perfectly. Yeah. So
I have to say I was a little annoyed by how much he took his helmet off.
It's terrible. But that's... he looked like Rick off the Pawn Stars. He did. So
right, ball sack chin and everything.
Yeah. It was... bad. One of my favorite characters, and at least he was good. And Josh Brolin's awesome as Thanos. Right. So.
Can't
complain. So
I'm morbidly curious to see how this dark side plays out. And that's really the only reason I'm going to watch the Snyder Cut. But that hits HBO Max in March.
March.
So I got some time.
Then you got Black Adam. I think that's going to be a home run. I really have this weird thing. That's going to be a fucking major home run for them.
I agree.
So, I hope so.
Yeah. I guess like stuff coming out on HBO Max, like they just have tons of stuff coming to that. Like
a hell of a TV. Like I know you are very into the TV shows and stuff like that, but it seems like DC has a great grasp on the TV show aspect of things, but the movie aspect they're struggling. So,
well, that all the TV stuff is Berlanti. I think I said that right. Like the guy who's doing all the CW shows. Yeah. So they all have a good vibe to them. It's just the stuff on HBO Max that was on the DC one, like the Doom Patrol, there's a shit ton of swearing. Like, like every third word out of Robot Man's mouth is fuck. Like it's great. But you couldn't have done that on the CW, obviously. I haven't watched Titans yet. I'll probably get to that after I'm done with Doom Patrol.
I haven't heard anybody say anything bad about that. The first season, people thought it dragged or wasn't very good, but then it picks up and people really liked it.
That's what I heard. But I was never a big fan of the Titans. Like I liked,
neither am I.
I liked Robin / Nightwing. I liked Starfire, but that was pretty much it. Like, yeah. I was never a big Cyborg fan. I was never a big Beast Boy fan. Raven was kind of in the middle.
To be honest, I think we're too, I hate to say this, I think me and you're too old. Like, that's true. Like, they're for, like, the younger, like I compare that, Miles Morales is finally making his way. He's hitting with a younger crowd than we are. So, the team just doesn't hit.
I don't know,
us,
man.
Maybe.
Like, because I think we're in like the weird in between, because there's guys that are a little older than us that absolutely loved the Teen Titans when they came out, because the Titans are now, you know, the original Teen Titans are now Titans.
Yeah.
So like there are guys that are a little older than us that really, that's what they loved. Like they absolutely love it, but they love it for different reasons. They love it because like a lot of them are because they loved Nightwing. Like they loved Dick Grayson. So that was a thing. And I get it. I totally get that. But
I guess I like everybody but him, I think, in a way. So
I've always been a Dick Grayson fan. I don't like Tim Drake, but I like Dick Grayson. I like him more as Nightwing than I liked him as Robin. No,
I like Jason Todd, but just because he's Red Hood. So that's it. So, and Damon's awesome. I can't help it.
Yeah.
I love him.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's pretty much every Robin that was, except, I mean, Stephanie Brown was a Robin for six issues. And then Carrie Kelly, then there, we've literally talked about every Robin. So it's, I get it. I just don't know if I'm going to like the show as much as some people do. I liked the cartoon, I thought was pretty good, but I only watched it here and there. And it was during that time where I think it came out. That was like early 2000s, right? Or mid 2000s.
I watched my first cartoon in years the other day, so I couldn't tell you anything. I watched Dragon Ball Z Broly the other day, and it was fucking awesome.
It is. It is really awesome.
It actually was awesome. Anyway, sorry.
It's okay. I thought that was a pretty good show. I don't think I've watched more than like the first or second season, but it was also around the same time that like Batman the Animated Series was like in its stride, and Batman Beyond was on, and I really liked Batman Beyond.
That's one character I never connected with either. Was Terry McGinnis? Batman Beyond? Yeah, was the Batman Beyond character.
I don't remember watching all of it, but I remember the first two seasons. It's on HBO Max. I'm probably gonna watch that at some point, or at least starting with season two, I'll continue on. So, but it's, you know, there's some good stuff on there. The Swamp Thing that's on there, that's also on the CW, is great.
Heard good things about that.
And you can watch like Wonder Woman 77, like full on Linda Carter stuff. There's some other good movies. The Watchmen show is really good. Trying to think what else is on there. I only played around for a little bit, like digging around mostly in the DC end. The Stargirl show that's on CW is on there as well.
People seem to like it, I guess. So
I liked it a lot. I read the comics back in the day, or at least I think I borrowed them from someone when they came out, like the old Stars and Stripes.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a good book, and I thought the show was very entertaining. I thought it was a good blend of like tween story and like or like young adult story, and there was still stuff for like adults too, because the villains are like all their dad, like all their parents, right?
Yeah,
so that was kind of neat. If you're into the JSA, there's some cool stuff with it, so that's a lot of it. I like Luke Wilson. So yeah. You know, it's like watching Old School every day, except he's got a giant mech. So like if he took that thing streaking, there you go. I can just see that, like, get out of my mech, I'm going streaking. yeah, that's pretty much all I gotta talk about. I mean, I guess we can give overalls on Wonder Woman. I gave it, I think, a 6.5 or 7 out of 10. It's where I would probably put it. 6.5 I'll go is probably where I'm gonna go.
I'll go the same with you. I'm like stuffed up today. Anyways, if she would have broke his neck, it would have been a much better movie. They needed to reverse Superman, Man of Steel, and
yes, that had been, because had Zod been the bad guy in Justice League, that would have been okay with me.
I'd have been fine with that. I still would. I'd have been fine with that.
Right.
Yeah. And that guy that played Zod was awesome too.
Yeah, I thought
names are escaping me today.
So. I don't remember what that dude's name is either, but it was really good. So.
That's good.
Cool.
I'm looking forward. You need to. Do you watch Cobra Kai?
I do not yet. My wife started watching it. And she kind of was like almost done with season one by the time I sat down and watched like an episode with her. And I was like, I'll watch it later. But I hear it's really good. A lot of my friends are really into it. So
that's what I plan on doing tomorrow, is watching Cobra Kai and seeing what that's up. You know, I've watched all the other seasons. I just need to rewatch his third season. So yeah. I love it. So it's one of the best shows out there. So
that's awesome.
Definitely has been. But
sweep the leg, Johnny. Sweep the leg.
Sweep it. And you got John Creasy's in there. So
right.
It's going to be awesome.
So cool. All right. Well, we'll wrap it up a little early, I guess, tonight. No one posted any questions, which is, you know, also okay, I guess. I was at least hoping for one, but no comments, no nothing today. That's pretty much all I got. So the next 2 weeks, Bo will be, not around. He's got some stuff to do. So I will be joined by assistant manager, Tim Cope from our waterfront store. He's also the guy, if you've watched our, live auctions on Thursday nights at 6:00, That's where he's doing them. He does our live web auctions. So we may start a little later just to give him a little bit of time to be ready. It's going to be fun with him, because he's a fun dude to chat with too. And who knows, maybe if it works out really well, we'll add him on here and we'll have three people. It'll be even crazier. But thanks everybody for watching, and we will catch you next week.